Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy, Mr. Justin Rudd, and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, friends, let's head up to Lake Texoma and join Mr. Bill Carey and his pet crows. I can hear them in the background. Bill, good morning to you, buddy.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
Yeah, good morning to you and those crows. You're outside this morning and got the boats out. Everybody's out catching stripers. I thought it'd be fun, sir, for you and I to give a quick striper fishing tip, and then I want to talk a little bit more. There's that crow. We got to name him. We got to name that crow. But talk a little bit more about our rendezvous in Greenville, March the 1st, which is today. If you're listening on the radio, come a running, as Bill says. That crow, would you bring that crow to the rendezvous? He doesn't know it, but people from Fort Smith, Arkansas, to the Permian Basin, out in the Panhandle and all over East Texas, they're listening to him. He's a famous crow, Bill.
Heck yeah.
Okay, stripers, let's get focused here.
All right.
It's March. Tell us what the pattern is. I'm not worried about what happened yesterday. Just the pattern of stripers is what I think would help people right now, you know?
Well, it all busts loose today, Luke. We've been fishing through the winter and dodging the storms. Mm-hmm. We call them northers.
Yep.
We call them northers, these storms, and we've been dodging them. It all busts loose today. So we've got, I think, 8 boats out, and we are rocking, ready to go. The water's still cold, mm-hmm. but we still trophy fish in March.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's going to start warming up, and we'll start having schools.
Yeah.
Because we just target the bigger fish, rogue fish, on structure, on points with the Roadrunner jig and that 7-inch curl tail for big trophies. Now we're going to have fish schooling, and there's the best of both worlds. You'll get size and numbers. So, yes, sir, spring has sprung. It is time to rock and roll.
And, you know, we always talk about striped bass because you couldn't mention Texoma and not do so, but the sand bass, the white bass, I learned with you the last time we were fishing together, a few weeks ago, a month ago maybe, we were dead sticking and got in some of the biggest. I remember, I think those big old white bass that I think would weigh, honest, 2 pounds, I think they got you as excited as the stripers, and you know how crazy I am about catching. One thing about a white bass, if you catch one, I won't say they're easy to catch, but once you get them turned on, you can catch a bunch of them, and that's what we did. We had already limited on our stripers and got out there, and you said, you caught the first one, I remember, and it was about a 2-pound white bass, and you said, look at this. This is what I've been telling you about, Luke, and then all of us started catching them, and I don't know why, but there were no dinks in that bunch. All of them were 1.5 pounds to, you know.
Yeah,
but Bill, those people, when I tell them about the size of white bass up there, the sand bass at Texoma, say, wait a minute, 2-pounders? Well, honestly, a 2-pound white bass is a big one, but you guys have actually caught them. Y'all have actually caught them up to 3, I think.
Yes, we have, and they're there. You know, I was going to say on the radio, well, when you're catching stripers, it's not going to be a little sand bass that runs with those stripers. It's going to be big ones.
That's the key. You know, I never thought about that. Yeah, if it were a smaller sand bass, they would be eaten, wouldn't they? Probably.
Yeah, I got a good story. You might want to say it on the radio.
Yeah.
I was guiding, and I was in my 18-foot pro right before we backed out of the slip, and I said, hey, boys, I got some gravy for you today. And they said, what's that? And I said, Texoma Magnum sand bass. We've been catching, I made the cover of Outdoor Times with a pair of 3-pounders. And I said, big old sand bass, up to 3 pounds. And this boy in the boat says, we catch 3-pounders on my lake. And I just kind of, And then first big sand bass he caught, he goes, whoa, how big is that, 5?
Yeah, that's it. And that's just across the board with fishermen. You know, for many years I did a fishing tips column for the Dallas Morning News for 14 years. Yeah, and I would be interviewing, talking to tons of fishermen every week. That's what they paid me to do. And some of them would, you know, I'd say Bob Sandlin, some lake that is a good lake, but not so many people fishing. Yeah, I caught it. We limited out on those white bass. It averaged about 3 pounds. You know, I just listened, and I knew better. Most of those 3-pound sand bass might weigh 1.75 pounds. You know,
yeah, that's but a big sandy.
It's a huge one. Yeah. Anyway, so sand bass are always a plus. But what's happening right now in March is the spawn is, would you say, early stages of for the stripers?
Well, the sand bass are spawning right now, and the stripers start. We have a rare, strange spawn here. I attribute it to being this lake has got so many different arms of females being in different pregnancies, of stages of pregnancy. So they'll start dropping in March. But it peaks in May, but it goes all the way through April to May, and it peaks in May. But we start dropping eggs in March. It's very rare. I call it a 60-day spawn.
Yeah.
Just unheard of.
That's a good way to sum it up, because the lake is so big, and it's not like one big body of water. It is all connected, but there's arms, huge arms of the lake, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, big mineral right around the corner here. Is one of my favorite places to fish, and it is a lake in itself. It's got every condition, every structure, everything you want.
It is. Folks, you can contact Bill Carey, StriperExpress.com. Facebook, you should really, if you want to keep tabs on what's going on, go on Facebook and connect with Striper Express there on Texoma. Bill, you know, I want to thank you. Back to our outdoor rendezvous, March the 1st, if you're listening on the radio. If you're on the podcast, don't come a-running. You may be listening in other time other than March the 1st, but Bill's going to be with me today. This is our sixth annual.
Yes, sir.
And you've been to every one of them. I think you and Mr. Billy Kilpatrick are going to fry up some catfish, I think, I don't sweat very much stuff, but I do. I'm when I bring stuff out there to eat, I want to make sure it's stuff that people will. I made a huge pot of pozole, which is a Mexican hominy-based soup, if you will. And I've made it before, but this time I made it with smoked pork shoulder. You make it with tomatillos. That's a little, they're really not tomatoes at all, but they're of the nightshade family, like a tomato. But a tomatillo is just a little, they'd be like a small tomato, green. Probably people have maybe not cooked with them, but they're used in pozole. And I had about 12 tomatillos, and I had a couple of big jalapenos, and I had a bunch of poblano peppers with the meat. And I smoked all that together. And, you know, Bill, they talk about, you know, the most recipes show you put all that ingredients in a blender. Well, I'm not even sure. My wife might have a blender. I never use it, but I think she's got one somewhere. But when I got through 12 hours in that smoker in an aluminum pan covered with foil after the smoke, I smoked it all uncovered for a while. All those tomatillos and all that stuff, they were so soft that when I put them in a bowl and just pushed them down, they shredded quickly. So little bits of all that in the pozole. But I've got a huge pot. We're going to have a big dipper, and folks can do that. And some of y'all's fried fish. That's something that you and Billy have done for several years, and it's always there's never any fish fillets left when the crowds get through. But thank you, Bill, for supporting that and for being with us out there each year. Yeah. It's in Hunt County at the Top Rail Cowboy Church, right there off of Interstate 30, Greenville, Texas. It's about an hour east of Dallas for folks that are not you know, maybe listed somewhere, streaming on the radio or something. But a lot of fun, isn't it, Bill? Music, a lot of booths and all. It's kind of a, I don't know, I consider it like a reunion of sorts. But there's...
Well, it's a rendezvous.
It's a rendezvous, not the type the old mountain men used to have. You want to tell, we've got time for a quick, funny story, Bill. I'm going to let you tell it. You, do you remember... several years ago, there was a gentleman way up in his 80s, a big old guy, come up to me, had thick glasses on. You remember him?
Yeah, you called me over. It was a great story.
Tell that real quick. We've got time, I think.
Okay. I'm not sure if this is the man that pulled out that column that was 40 years old, and there was a picture of you there.
That's him, I think. I think. Man. Yeah.
And he said, Luke, I've been a fan. I've been listening to you. I've been reading you in the newspaper all these years, and folks, Luke's dressed just like we are, blue jeans, boots, and, you know, maybe a fishing shirt or a camo shirt.
Yep.
And he looks at him and he says, if I get this right, he looks at him and says, you know, you don't look anything what I pictured you. And Luke goes, who'd you expect? Jeremiah Johnson?
I was very polite, though. I was. I think I said it something like, well, sir, were you expecting Jeremiah Johnson here? But that's part of the fun there, and that's – We've got some storytellers that come out of the woodwork. By that I mean out of the backwoods.
It's free admission.
Free admission. Just come on out. If you're in the right place at the right time, it's free food too.
Got music, people peddling all their goods, anything you want.
Got Bill Carey, you can corner him and really pick his brain too, right here, and get some of his secret striper tips.
Bill, all talk fishing. You know that.
I know that. And I think all our listeners have come to realize that too, you know. Bill, we're out of time. Thank you for being with us. Let's see. Striper Express, any way you want to find it. Facebook.com. You can leave a number if you would, Bill.
Well, if y'all like to call, our number is 903-786-4477. That's 903-786-4477.
For about the past decade, I've been hunting editor for Air Gun Hobbyist magazine. I think the only magazine devoted strictly to air gun shooting and hunting in the country. Well, in that length of time, I've learned quite a bit about big bore air guns and smaller calibers too. A spot to go to that if you're interested in air guns, you need to know about Pyramid Air. The website is PYRAMYD, pyramidair.com. They have anything and everything you need, from the guns themselves, the big bores or the smaller calibers, to the accessories. Just remember pyramidair.com, and there's a number when you get on the website if you need to call and talk to somebody, give them a buzz, and they can fill you in on little details that you might need to know about shooting or hunting with big bore air guns. While you're on the website there, I'd like you to check out the big bore air gun that I've done a great deal of hunting with. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw, 50 caliber, pressures up to 3,000 PSI, and it looks like a conventional rifle. Wooden stock. I think you'll like the appearance, and I know you'll like the performance. It shoots not only bullets, but also air bolts as well, tipped with a broadhead. Check it out. It's the Seneca Dragon Claw.